Thank you to the Kravitzes for opening their home and making this possible, saving me a parking spot. Thank you to Yoni for the seltzer. Okay, we had a couple of lines left in the Psicha, but I'm actually going to skip ahead now to the first parak of the Sefer. It's not going to be radically different than anything we've been learning. You see that the Chovas Levavos likes to break things down into categories. But let's really get down to we've had enough Hakdama, and the Hakdama itself is part of setting things up to understand what is Bitachon. But now let's really begin what is Bitachon. And let's talk tonight in the first two prakim of the Shaar Bitachon. What is Bitachon? We've sort of summarized it in a sentence in the past. We'll do that again. And then the second parak is going to be seven different necessary factors to rely on someone. And what type of individual would we rely on? How do we apply that by extension to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, so let's jump right in. Perek Rishon, I gave you the nicer photocopy this time, a little easier to follow along, sort of. The bottom half of the page is the Lev Tov commentary. The top half of the page is the actual words of the Chovas Levavos. So you see it says Perek Rishon in the second paragraph. Perek Rishon. Ach mahus habitachon hi menuchas nefesh habotayach. As we've seen many times, the definition that we've used as the true litmus test of a person of bitachon is to what degree does a person have menuchas nefesh? How nervous am I about my situation? Again, you're allowed to be human, and you're allowed to acknowledge the fact that it's uncomfortable to be in the situation. And you could say that my tsaros are many. I have a lot of tsara. I'm uncomfortable. I'm frustrated by my situation. But I don't have a daiga. I don't have worry. I'm not overly anxious about my situation because I know I'm exactly where I need to be in my situation, and whatever the struggle may be. I want to pause here for a moment and share with you an insight that's connected to this week's parasha, but it's found in the Sichos Musar and Parshas Beshalach. But I think it's a good, Hashem has his ways of working things out, that we got to this idea. Again, we've seen this idea many times, but to see it so clearly in one line, that bitachon is menuchas nefesh avoteach. To what degree does a person have menuchas nefesh, peace of mind, yishuv hadas? To what degree do I become panicked about my situation? So again, so the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Musar and Parshas Beshalach gives a very beautiful mashal. He says, he's explaining the pasuk, we're all familiar with it, Zacharti lach chesed ne'urayach, avas klu osayach, lechtech achray b'midbar. What was the lechtech achray b'midbar? What was so outstanding about the lechtech achray b'midbar b'eretz lo zeruah? So he says, Shashevach einu ha-mesiras nefesh sheba'etzem ha-lichasu b'makum tziyah v'tzal maves. The praise of Klal Yisrael is not the fact that they went into a dangerous place. Because people go into dangerous places and they experience the danger. And they may have a reason why they want to enter into that dangerous environment. So a Navy SEALs diver wants to enter into a cave that might cost him his life. And he knows it's dangerous. And he may feel that danger in a very intense way. Right? But he does it with Mesiras Nefesh because he wants to save a kid who's stuck in a cave. So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the chiddush of Zacharti Lachesed Nurayach, Hashem says, wow, you followed me into the midbar. It wasn't that we went on a dangerous expedition. That's not the Ikar chiddush. Ela shekol halichasam haisa achrei Hashem, but it was the fact that we walked after Hashem below lahargish klal bekoshi hamidbar. It was the fact that we did it and we were so calm about it. Now you could argue, well, Hashem gave us the man, and Hashem gave us the anani akavod, and he gave us a pretty nice environment. Right? But our willingness to take men, women, and children into the midbar, which the Torah describes as the midbar hagadol hanoira, nachash saraf ha'akrav, and to be able to do that, ve'ena margishim bedavar klal, elak ilu holchem heim be'eretz miyushev, as if we were traveling in a comfortable environment, as if it was no big deal, makom ginos upardesim, as if we were walking in a place of fresh flowing water and orchards, the fact that we were willing to follow Hashem, to walk out of Mitzrayim, not to run out of Mitzrayim, is the biggest chiddush. Lechtech achari. We walked after Hashem with Yishuv Hadas, without becoming anxious about our situation and our surroundings. And what does he compare it to? It's a beautiful mashal. It's a beautiful image. Mashal letino kanisa bezroes imo. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, you know what it's like? It's like a baby being carried in its mother's arms. The mother could be in the most dangerous situation and fully aware of the situation. The baby only knows one thing. I'm in mommy's arms. That's all he knows. That's all the child knows. A child doesn't have an understanding of the danger. The mother could be walking in a forest with wild animals. The mother could be walking on a road where there are bandits waiting to ambush people. The only thing that the child recognizes is that I'm in mommy's arms. And I'm in mommy's embrace. And that's the same if the externals are extremely dangerous or extremely safe. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm in mommy's arms. That's all I need to know. What's the connection to this week's parsha? So Chayesh Pelevitz continues. He asks the following question. It's really Gemara's question. The Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis asks, okay, so the halacha is, She'ein asoser chayev ela kishasoser amanas livnos b'makom. The definition of the malacha of destroying on Shabbos is if I soser amanas livnos, if I break something with the intention of rebuilding it in its place. So says the Gemara, hold on, everything is learned, all the malachos are derived from the Mishkan. When would we break the Mishkan? To travel. So we'd break the Mishkan and then we'd rebuild it in a different place. So what do you mean that the definition of soser is soser amanas livnos bimakomo if this week's parasha, the Jews were here and then they went to there? So the Gemara has such a chassidish answer. Amar Ula, the Gemara answers, al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisau, wherever you are, you're in Hashem's place. It doesn't matter if you're in place A or place B. You're in mommy's arms. That's this week's parsha. You're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arms. Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisau. I mean, that pasuk's in Baal Oscha. Right? But that's exactly playing itself out in this week's parsha. So therefore, kisosa al manas livnos l'makomo dami. So wherever you rebuild the Mishkan, it's still makomo sha'olam. God is called makom. Ha-makom yinachim eschem. Hashem is everywhere. So he says, it's exactly this idea. El ola makomam haya eitzel l'kadosh baruch hu kivyachol ketinok hanisei bezeros imo. And that's the litmus test of bitachon. Do I feel that I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arms? Do I feel that I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's embrace? Is my whole life in the sukkah, the way that Klal Yisrael, when they were in the midbar, we're living in the sukkah, we're living in the Anani HaKavod. That's the litmus test. Menuchas HaNefesh of the Boteach. Let's read further in the Chovas Levavos. V'shiyeh libo samuch al mi shabatach alav. Again, that my heart is able to entirely, my mind is totally comfortable leaning on Hashem. I'm 100% confident that Hashem knows what He's doing. That I'm confident, and we'll talk this out more tonight, that Hashem is going to provide me with the greatest possible good. Because as we saw last time, Hashem knows what's better for me, better than I myself know. Or as I mentioned, the Chafetz Chaim writes in one place in Shemira Salashon, God loves you more than you love yourself. Which is hard for us to imagine. Right? I know myself best. Hashem knows you better than you know yourself. And sometimes Hashem puts you in an uncomfortable situation because He knows you more than you know yourself. And it's really for your own good. So again, in accordance with Hashem's ability to provide for you, which of course is endless, as we'll see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting you in a situation to provide you with the ultimate good. The main thing, the main ingredient that you need to have bitachon, that the boteach should be able to have bitachon. Ve'im yipakeid lo yimotzeh bitachon. If you're missing this, you won't have bitachon. What is it? What do I need to have in order to actualize bitachon? Who? She'alibo batuach b'mish yivtach bo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a guarantee that you can trust Him, that you're willing to buy into that, that there's no backup plan. That there's no feeling, well, my boss can help me better, my doctor can help me better. To really, really believe no one can help you better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'yakayim Masha Amar, that Hashem will fulfill what He said, the promises He made to Klal Yisrael as a tzivor and as individuals. V'yasa Masha Arav, and Hashem will follow through. Hashem will never default on the loan. Hashem will never deny the promises He made to us in the Torah. V'yachshov alav hatov v'masha lo hitna lo v'lo arav aso. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide you with even good things that He never promised you, above and beyond what you could imagine. There's no one who can provide for you better. She'aseyu nidava v'chesed, that Hashem will act towards you with kindness and generosity. That's the attitude a Jew has to have bitachon. I trust Hashem 100%. He knows exactly what He's doing. It's going to be good. He's going to fulfill all the promises that He's made. And if I haven't seen it yet, just hang tight. And if I think this isn't good, it's because Hashem knows good better than I know good. Good is not always fun. Good is not always pleasant. But Hashem knows what is objectively good. Okay? Let's turn to the top of the next page. That's Perek Rishon. That was Shara Bitachon Perek Rishon. The definition of Bitachon, again, Menuchas Nefesh Habotei. So now let's talk about seven factors, and this is what we'll spend tonight on, the second Perek, or part of it. Seven factors to indicate that this is someone who I can rely on. And his punchline is going to be, God has all seven, and no human being has even one of the seven. Fully. Okay, so let's see what they are. And you'll say, well, what do you mean? Some people have some of these. Maybe no one has all of them. Hashem might have the best, you know, mix of the seven. Let's see if that's true. Achasibos asher behen yitochin habitochon me'abuteach al habruim hein shiva. The factors that would allow someone to have bitochon al habruim on another person, let's use a person as a model, the willingness to rely on another person, I'd want to identify these seven character traits by someone else in order to rely on them. What are they? Achas mehen, the first one, harachamim v'hachemlo v'ahava. Does the person love me? Does the person want to have rachmanis on me? Does the person want to act with kindness and sensitivity towards me? If the person doesn't like me, then I probably don't want to rely on them. Right? That's self-evident. Because when I meet someone who cares about me, when I meet someone who has mercy upon me, takes pity upon me, a person who shows concern for me, yivtachbo, I feel that I can trust that person. Again, I have a genuine sense that they love me. So if I know this person loves me, well, if I lack food, they're going to get me food. And if I lack clothing, they're going to get me clothing. If I lack happiness, they're going to try to cheer me up. So if they care about me, they're going to provide me with those needs. Because they love me, I'm confident that that person is going to provide me with all the things that I need. Whatever troubles I might have. Whatever I need in my life. Is the person there to help me or is the person out to get me? There's a Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where who's who? Calvin's the kid. Hobbes says to Calvin, he says, do you think there's a God? The tiger says to the kid, he says, do you think there's a God? So Calvin says, well, someone's out to get me. So if that's not a proof of a God, then I don't know what is. So that notion, that cynical notion that somebody's out to get me, right, is so the antithesis of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us. Hashem is never out to get us. Hashem meets this criteria better than anyone ever. Harachim v'achem l'va'ava. Hashem's not out to get anyone. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzisichem eretz Mitzrayim. As Hashem introduces himself by Kabbalah Satorah, I am God, I took you out of Mitzrayim. So ask a Jew at Har Sinai, did God save you from the whips of Egypt because he hates you or because he loves you? Hopefully it's a simple answer, because he likes me. If you save someone from 210 years of captivity, it's usually an indication, right? Wow, you did it in such a magnificent way. You probably care a lot about them. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Hashem introduced and framed the whole context of the Torah in that way. I am God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Why did I take you out of Mitzrayim? Because I love you. So now ... everything else. When I ask you to keep kosher, it's because I love you. When I ask you to wear tefillin, it's because I love you. When I ask you to keep taras and mishpacha, it's because I love you. When I ask you to shut down your business on Shabbos, it's because I love you. When I tell you not to be jealous of your friend, it's because I love you. No matter how easy certain mitzvahs or how hard certain mitzvahs are, it's all a hemshich of, I took you out of Mitzrayim because I love you. And everything else that I ask of you and our relationship is going to be built on love. I'm not out to get you. I'm not trying to get you. Rabbi David Aaron tells a story, because he often talks about how a person, the God that you're going to believe in is you know, whatever your conception of God is. So Rabbi Aaron sometimes has people, he says, take your pen, you know, if you assume you're a righty, take your pen in your left hand and write a letter to God. God, I've always wanted to ask you, and write it with your opposite hand. Because when you write with your opposite hand, you write in the more childish fashion, and that taps you back into your childish understanding of things, and hopefully it, through the motor skills, like reconnects you to like your earliest memories of God. And it helps you to realize like what is your conception of God. What was your first memory of God? So Rabbi Aaron tells a very sad story. He said there was a girl who once shared with one of his classes. It was a young woman who said, my first memory of God, my first like really clear memory of God was, like, I don't remember exactly what I even did, but I did something bad. And my mother was chasing me around the house saying, God's going to punish you, God's going to punish you. And I ran into the bathroom and I locked the door. And my mother was banging on the door, saying, open the door, God's going to punish you, God's going to punish you, open the door, you bad girl, God's going to punish you. So the girl called out from the bathroom. She said, no, he's not, because I'm in a bathroom and God's not in the bathroom. So her mother says, you silly girl, God's even in the bathroom. And she said, like, the thought that, like, God follows me into the bathroom freaked her out for, like, years. Her whole conception of God was, like, built on, you know, like, what kind of pervert is God that he's hanging out in the bathroom? Like, you know? And it took her years to understand, like, the notion of God being everywhere and God's not out to get you. So that's that cynical notion, so poignantly captured by Calvin and Hobbes, right, that, you know, that somebody's out to get me. If you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you and cares about you and is interested in you, right? So then all of a sudden I say, okay, well, does anyone in the world love me as much as Hashem? No, the answer should be no. Not my parents, not my spouse, not my children, not my best friend in the world. And therefore I should rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than I rely on anyone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. This is basic Jewish philosophy. The Derech Hashem, the Ramchal says, Hashem created the world because it's the nature of one who is good to bestow that goodness upon others. So everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting us through is for some greater good that we may not fully understand, which is fine. But Olam Chesed Yibaneh is built with a netiyah towards Ahava, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting to make things work out for us. So therefore, if you believe that, then you can rely on such an individual, and Hashem will certainly meet again that factor of one who could be trusted. V'ashenis, in the third line, Shiyeh Yodeya Bo Im Ahavaso, She'inenu mis'ali menu v'lo mis'atzel b'chefso. That not only does God love me, but he's willing to put in the effort. You could love someone and say, you know what, maybe we'll say then that's not real love. Right? But you could really love someone and just say, like, I can't help you with this thing. I really care about you, but I just don't have the time to help you with this particular issue. The sign of a true person who you'd want to, a person who you'd want to rely upon, is someone who's, again, in the fourth line, she'inenu mis'ali mimenu, who doesn't ignore your needs, doesn't hide, literally hide from you, v'lo mis'atzel b'chefso, and doesn't act with laziness to achieve your desires. Aval hu yodeya bo shu mishtadel u'maskim la'asoso. Someone who knows you, knows what you need, and you get the sense that this person doesn't just care about me, like in theory, but you see how the person is making efforts on your behalf. Who could claim that Hashem is not making efforts on our behalf? God is constantly making efforts on our behalf. Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly making efforts on our behalf. He knows exactly what I need. And Hashem is working. Hashem is not too busy for us. Right? We may have friends, we may have rabbis, we may have children, spouses who sometimes appear to be too busy for us. But Hashem always has time for us. Hashem is always willing to put in more effort to help you. Because if I don't have that kind of that guarantee that you're going to actually do something for me, so my trust in you is going to be incomplete. Because I know that you're not fully available to me. You're not really working on my behalf. You may claim to love me and you may really love me, but you're not prepared or you just simply don't have the time or the wherewithal to do for me. You're not committed enough to me. You're not concerned about me to such a degree that you're always doing for me. There's an amazing vart from the Bnei Yisrael. It's in Agra Dekala in Parshas Bereishis, and it explains a phrase that we say in the Yom Noram. We use a lashon by the Yom Noram. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a poel emes shepu laso emes. What does that mean? Hashem is a poel emes shepu laso emes. Hashem is the true worker whose work is emistic. The Bnei Yisrael writes in his Agra Dekala, commentary on Chumash, Parshas Bereishis, he says, let's think about why a person works. He says, let's take the example of a person who's a watchmaker. Right? Why does a person make a watch? Does he make the watch for the watch? Does the watchmaker make the watch for the watch? He probably makes the watch either because he's good at making watches and he can sell the watch and then pay his rent. Or he makes the watch because he wants to help his friend to be able to tell time, right? Or he makes the watch because he's such a fantastic artisan that he's going to get, you know, a lot of kavod for making the watch. He's not making the watch to shame the watch. It's not for the feelings of the watch. Right? Most people, the things that we do are not you know, lishma in the sense that I don't do it for its purpose. I do it for some ulterior motive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a poel emes, shepu'ulaso emes. Hashem creates for the thing itself. Hashem doesn't need us. Hashem made us for us, for our benefit. He doesn't get a kick out of it, having subjects to serve him. Adon Alam Asher Malach B'Tarim Kol Yitzir Nevah. Hashem was the perfect king who had everything that he needed before he created us. He didn't need to make us. He made us for us. We have to remember that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us for our enjoyment, for our benefit. He loves us, and he wants to be able to provide for us. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be relied upon. So therefore, again, as someone who has these two factors, again, three lines from the end of the page, Godel Rachmanuso Alav, V'rov Hashkachaso Alin Yanav, that he cares deeply about you, and he's proactive in providing for you, Yivtach Bo Mibli Safik. That's category two. Category three, the third factor that you're looking for. Hashlishis Shiachazak. It's very nice if you care about me. It's very nice if you're dedicated to putting in a lot of time to me. You simply may not have the skill to provide for me. You may not have the financial means to provide for me. You may not be the doctor with the medical training to heal me. If I want to rely on you, you have to be able to make it happen. You have the greatest intentions in the world. Do you have the wherewithal to get the job done? To do something for me? I want someone who's chazak. I want someone who can provide. Lo yinutzach ba'asher hu chafetz. Someone who will never be defeated in whatever it is he sets out to do. Hashem is kol yachol. Hashem could do whatever he wants. So Hashem is a good person to rely upon in that way. Right? Just to review for a moment, halach at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Hay. What are the names of God that we say and what do they mean? When we say Yud Kei Vav Kei, what is the kavanah? I'm just reading out of the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Hay. Right, we pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei Adonai. So when we pronounce that name, Perish Kri Aso Ba'adnus. Adnus means what? Hashem is Adon HaKol, the master of all. And we also think about Yud Kei Vav Kei HaYahova V'yiya. What about when you say the name Elokim? Yechavin Zhehu Takif. Like we just said, he's Chazak, he's strong. Right? All strength is his. Baal HaYecholas. He's entirely capable, entirely able. Ubala kochos kulam. And Hashem has everything at his disposal. Hashem has all the power in the world. So that's a good person to rely upon. Again, the person might love you and the person might want to help you, but if they simply don't have the means to help you, then at the end of the day, this person's not someone to rely upon. Hashem loves you. Hashem is diligently working for you. And Hashem can provide anything, as we saw earlier in the Hagdama. Right, the examples of Eliyahu and Elisha and people who were mamish out in the boondocks and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came up with creative ways to provide them with their needs. Rav Zilberstein in the Bar Chinafshi, in the Sefer Bar Chinafshi, tells a story about someone who came to the Chazon Ish one time. And he says to the Chazon Ish, Rebbe, my doctors tell me I've got 4 days. I have a horrible infection. They're talking about 4 days to live. This was in Eretz Yisrael, and the medicine that's needed is not in Eretz Yisrael. This medicine has not yet reached Eretz Yisrael. So Chazon Ish said, 4 days. That's a lot of time, 4 days. Chazon Ish said, bring me a chumash. He brought him a chumash. So they sat down together, and Chazon Ish said, let's learn Bereishis. And he opens up the chumash, and he says, day one. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on day one. Hashem did so much on day one. Day two. Look how much Hashem did on day two. Right? Day three, day four. Look, and the Chazon Ish went through it, pausing by Chazon, and he said, look what Hashem did in 4 days. Look how much Hashem did in 4 days. You don't think Hashem can get you some medicine from the other side of the ocean in 4 days? Hashem created the whole world in 4 days. A nice chunk of it. You don't think Hashem can get you medicine in 4 days? Right? The end of the story was, and not every story ends this way, but the end of this particular story was, right, that there was a shipment that came in from America. And amongst the shipment was some type of medicine, which was seen as somewhat experimental at the time. And they tried it out on this guy, and he had a refuah shleima. But the Chazon Ish taught him, Hashem, it's not impossible for Hashem. So your doctors look at it and say, we can't get a product from across the ocean in 4 days. Chazon Ish passed away in 1953. We don't have the means to do that. But he sat down, and he said, look what Hashem can do in such a short period of time. Hashem can do anything. And that's the type of God, so to speak, you want to rely upon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baal HaKochos Kulam. That's the very definition of the name Elokim. We're created B'Tselem Elokim, which means we also have a little bit of that awesome ability to do you know, everything and anything. That's part of a kalach that Hashem gave us in partnering with Him. But Hashem certainly, in the most simple sense, can mamish do everything. And HaKadosh Baruch will not be withheld or restrained from achieving whatever it is that those who rely upon Him ask for. Because if you rely upon someone who's weak, let's turn the page, there's no guarantees that He'll be able to provide. Again, even if the person proves to be someone who loves you and someone who's paying attention to you, but they just can't get the job done. They just don't have the skills to provide you with everything that you need. But if you can find someone who has all three, again, we're only up to three out of seven. If you can find someone who has all three, that's a good start of someone to rely upon. They love you, they're willing to work for you, and they can actually get the job done. Okay? Number four. Haravias, in the third line, going back to what we learned in the first parak. That's your first parak that we learned tonight. Does the person know what's good for me? Let's combine 4 and 5. Let's read 4 and 5 and we'll talk it out. Does the person know what is l'to'eles? There are people who sometimes say, trust me, I can take care of you, I know it's good for you. And they may actually provide you with things, but the things are not good for you. They get you a great job, and you make a lot of money, and your money becomes your downfall. So they didn't know it was good for you. Having more money seems superficially good for you. They wanted to help you, but they didn't really know it was good for you. Can I identify someone who really knows me, and knows be'emes what's good for me? V'lo ye alemi menu mashu tovlo benister uvenira. Someone who knows me inside out, what's good for me truly, internally and externally. A true, thorough understanding of my neshama. Umasha yitav bo in yano. And what's going to actually be good as it plays itself out in my life. Kim lo yeida kol ze. Because if you don't really know the person, and you just want to help, and this was good for me, so I'm sure it'll be good for you. Lo tanuach hanefesh avoteach alav. The person won't have yishav adas. Because the person will end up not being true to himself or herself. And then all the problems that, you know, emerge from relying on a man, which we learned in the very first lines of the Hakadama, will take place. You know, this is turning into Echad Miodeya, right? Who knows 4, who knows 3, who knows 2, who knows 1. So if you have someone who knows you inside out, and you have someone Yechalta Bahem, he's totally capable, and he pays attention to you, and he loves you, that's a good person to rely upon. Okay, that's category 4. Does the person really know what's good for me?
How does that align with Rebbe's, for example? People who go to the Rebbe, whatever the Rebbe says.
Yeah, whatever the Rebbe says. Yeah, the bittul, right. Right. In what way?
The Rebbe is maybe the Shaliyah.
Right.
The Shaliyah.
Right, so those who were Mavata themselves to Tzaddik and really saw the Tzaddik as an extension of the Shechina. Right, the bittul to the Tzaddik, Dveik was being dabuk to the Tzaddik, clinging to the Tzaddik. I just read a line the other day from in the Sefer Avodas Pnim. Avodas Pnim was a Slonimer Chassid who lives in Tveria. And he wanted so badly to meet the Slonimer Rebbe, who he never met for many years. And when he met the Slonimer Rebbe, he was mevatel himself, kol kulotim, and the way that he wrote, that we have letters in the back of the Sefer Avodas Pnim, the way he spoke about the Slonimer Rebbe, the Beis Avram, I think it was, the way he wrote about his Rebbe, how the Rebbe transformed every aspect of his life, and he wasn't even alive before he met the Rebbe, and just a total bittel to the Rebbe. Okay, so I guess there's something called a Muna Sadiqim, just like there's a Muna, you know, Muna in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there's being Boteach in a Tzaddik, the way that one's Boteach in Hashem. The question is, what do I need the Tzaddik for if I could go straight to the source?
I think small experience with people in that position, it gives them a certain Menuchas HaNefesh. And that's a big thing, as we've been learning.
Knowing that I can rely on someone who's bigger than me, tangibly bigger than me. Right.
They believe that. Rebbe, whoever it is, has the insight into that person.
Right. The Rebbe hopefully knows me more than I know myself. Again, the question is, what do I need the Rebbe for? Why can't I just go to Kadosh Baruch? Well, one of the great prides of Yiddishkeit, right, is that we dive into Hashem. I don't need to sit in a confession booth and talk to the priest.
We don't know who the Shaliach is.
Okay.
We don't know.
change your
place. Okay. Doctor.
All right. So again, this may, is there an element of ishtadlus by going to the Rebbe, or is it just a is it an expression of amuna bitacho? And again, that that his kashrus and the bittul to tzaddikim, yeah.
Right.
Is a form of being davak to the Shechina. Yeah.
There's some people that you could take it a step further that don't say machnisei rachamim.
Right, because they don't want to. I don't need any angels. Right. I don't need any intermediaries.
So it's trusting in the Rebbe taking away from your
real right. So maybe it does. Maybe it does. Again, there are layers. There are levels in bitachon. Like we forget sometimes when you get into this, you forget that there's levels of bitachon. So I may not be on the level where my bitachon is perfect enough to rely on Hashem, but better than relying on you know my non-Jewish basa. I rely on a tzaddik to give me eitzah. Okay, that's a little higher than you know. Right. Right. So maybe that's all. Right. For sure, there's not. Depends on one's level. So it could be asking the Rebbe the advice as opposed to, you know, trying to figure it out on my own. Maybe that's a degree of pitachon with an element of ishtablis.
So somebody could feel that they're not zochah. The Eberster wants to help.
Could be.
Maybe I'm not worthy.
Could be.
If people go to the Rebbe don't feel like it's a secondary.
I mean, they probably should on some level, no? Unless we say the Rebbe is really the, you know, again, to say it carefully, you have to really understand the whole inyan of Hiskashas, the tzaddikim, be mavata yourself to the tzaddik, you know, where you're getting into delicate territory in terms of saying that tzaddik is an extension of Hashem, I don't know, more so than any other Jew has a neshama. And in some ways, yes, in some ways, no. It's very nuanced. So we, you know, I don't know if we should go there right now. I'm not personally prepared to explain that well right now. Okay, but yeah, there is such an inyan, and you know, it's a level of bitachon, I think. Okay, let's read number 5, and then we'll talk out 4 and 5. V'achamishis shemisyachir ban hagas havoteach alav mitchilas havayaso v'gidulo v'yankuso v'naruso v'achruso v'yeshishuso v'ziknaso atachlas inyano. Does the person know my whole story from the time I was a baby, from the time I was created, when I was a baby, when I was a young child, right? When I was a young adult, a teenager. When I was a young man in the early years of my marriage, when I got a bit older, when I reached old age, is there someone who could follow my story from beginning to end? Now this category really knocks out Basar Vidal. Right? Only Hashem knows my story from beginning to end to that degree. Right? So, but let's combine 4 and 5. The person who's able to again understand me spiritually, emotionally, what is best for me, and someone who simply understands the context of my life, literally my entire story, from beginning to end. And that's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If category number 3 was Elohim, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu should have all the power in the world, category number 5 is HaYehovah V'iyah. Is a Kadosh Baruch Hu knowing me from beginning to end. And there are many, many examples of, there are many sources we could bring about the importance of being able to know the full picture in order to be able to really provide. Only Hashem knows the full picture. I don't remember if I mentioned one of the earlier Chaburas, the Zavar from the Chavetz Chaim. In the Chavetz Chaim al Torah in Parshas Kisisa, it compares it to a person who walks into a shul and is very upset with the Gabayim. A guy from out of town, he shows up to the shul. His first time in shul, and he's already giving trouble to the Gabayim. And Josh is nodding along over here. It's known to happen. It happened, right? The guy shows up on Shabbos, right? and he's chepering the Gabay. Oh, why did this guy get the Aliyah? Why did that guy get the Aliyah? So the Gabbai says, I don't understand, what's your problem? So he says, well, I saw you give Beryl the Aliyah. And I remember Beryl from high school. He's not such a chashev guy. And I see there's some very chashev people in this shul. I recognize some of these people. They're very chashev people. So how do you skip over them and give the Aliyah to, you know, to Beryl and to Yankel? So the Gabbai says, oh, excuse me, who do you think you are? You're literally one shev. That's what Chavetz Chaim writes in Parshas Kisisa as a mashal, right? For seeing Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to know you, Hashem. Right? Teach me your ways, Hashem. Hodieni noz derachecha. Explain to me your secrets, Hashem. So Hashem says to us, who do you think you are? You're here for one Shabbos. Right? Yeah, usually the chashuv people get aliyahs, but Beryl has yartzeit, and Yankel's making a simcha. Right? So you look at one slice of entire calendar year, and you have questions. Why did this one get the daven? Why did this one get the aliyah? You don't have the whole picture. I'm here week in and week out, so I understand the whole picture. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to each and every one of us, right? Both in terms of our questioning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our ability to try to rely on other people. Does anyone else really understand what my neshama needs from beginning to end? Does anyone really understand the context of my life? Forget the gulgulim I've been through. Just my life as it is right now. Does anyone know what I was like? My parents might have a good sense what I was like from my child until now. But does anyone really know? Is anyone with me every step of the way to be able to really guide me other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself? Chafetz Chaim is also quoted as saying, imagine a person walks into shul late for mincha. And someone's saying Ashrei. And they hear one of the psukim of Ashrei, and the person has a kasha. Yeah? Person walks in late, and they hear the following phrase. Kol ohavav ves kol harishayim yashmir. Person says, and person lamdan, big lamdan. So he says, hold on a second. Kol ohavav ves kol harishayim yashmir. That God destroys the ones he loves and the bad guys. I understand. God, I understand why he destroyed the bad guys. Why do you destroy the good guys? Kol ohavav yashmir. So we say, you're a fool. Right? You're a fool. You didn't hear the whole pasuk. Shomer Hashem es kol ohavav. Hashem protects the good guys and destroys the bad guys. Chafetz Chaim says the same thing would be true if the person walked out a little bit early. You didn't hear the last chapter, you know, of the story. You missed the end of the pasuk. Shomer Hashem es kol ohavav es kol rishayim. Hashem protects the good guys and the bad guys. Hashem, I understand why you protect the good guys. Why do you protect the bad guys? So Chafetz Chaim says, if you don't have the whole thing, if you don't have the whole story, if you don't understand the big picture, right, then you can't even begin to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things. And that's why Rabbi Akiva says in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Samach, Kol ma da'avad rachmanu l'tav of it. Everything Hashem does is good. Really, this is good? You may not be able to. You're looking at a tiny, tiny, tiny sliver of reality. Hashem knows. Hashem was with you. It's a powerful lashon he has here. Mitchilas havayaso v'gidula v'yankuso v'na'aruso v'acharuso. Every stage of your life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. So who are you going to rely upon? Some boss who met you a couple of years ago? Some guy you know from the community for a couple of years now? He's going to be the person you turn to in your time of need? Turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows what you really need. He knows what's good for you and not good for you. Rav Asher Weiss, which we've quoted a few times now in his Emunah and Bitachon volume, so in one of the essays in the 10th Sicha, it was taken straight out of the, they put out a little, a couple of years ago, Zmiros for Shabbos, Minchas Asher. So, in the words of Kari Bone, Lu Yechia Gvar Shnin Alfin, right, even if we were to live, you know, that much longer, we still wouldn't understand the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So he quotes the pasuk, Mi Yamal Gvuras Hashem Yashmir Kol Tilaso. Who could sing the praise of Hashem? Who really understands Kol Tilaso? Who can understand that what appears to be Midas Adin, like the Bein HaMetzarim that we're in right now, is really Kulo Bracha? Who can explain that? We can explain that. We can say Vardlach that we've seen in different Svarim about it. We can hope that one day we'll be Zochet to see it. We can't explain it. We can't explain the Tzaris of Klal Yisrael. He quotes from the Eila Ezkra, the Yom Kippur version of the Musaf, of the Asar Haruge Malchus. When the angels come to Hashem and they say, Zod Torah v'zod Schara, these holy tzaddikim are suffering. Hashem, this makes sense to you? And Hashem says, you better be quiet, I'm going to turn the world back to tohu vavohu. So he asks two questions. First of all, what kind of answer is that to the angels? L'chor ein lahavin pesher tshuvazu. V'chi mishum tar'umas hamalachim yachir v'kadosh baruch hu asolamos. Because the angels don't understand something, so God has to destroy the world? How does that answer anything? And second of all, he says, based on the Ramban, why go back to tohu vavohu? Why not go back to nothing? Tohu vavohu, the Ramban says, is already a form of creation. It's a something of a nothing. Why not just say, I'm going to destroy everything? So he explains with a mashal that many tzaddikim have brought. Shlomo Kluger has this mashal, many tzaddikim have this mashal. Imagine a king who hires someone to make a magnificent garment out of golden threads. And the worker says to him, the craftsman says, okay, I need X amount of material. Right? Now there's someone who's very jealous of this tailor. Making it was selected. This other tailor is very jealous of him. So he decides to slander him. He says to the king, when the garment is complete, he says, you know, you should just know that the tailor who you hired, he's been stealing and pocketing some of the golden threads. He asked for more material than he needs, and he took a cut for himself. And the garment's beautiful. We can both acknowledge that. We should just know that he stole. He stole from you along the way. And he's more of a machas. He should probably look into that and have him executed. He's jealous. He wants to become the head tailor in the land. So the king comes to him and he says, there's a terrible accusation against you. there's reports and indications that you've stolen from the materials, you took more than you needed, and you pocketed some of the golden threads. So the tailor says, my dear king, it's a beautiful garment. No, he says, it's beautiful. So he says, I could prove to you that I didn't steal a single thread. The only way I can do that is to what? Is to deconstruct the whole garment. I could take the whole thing apart, and I could show you piece by piece, thread by thread, that every single golden thread is accounted for. But then your beautiful garment's going to be destroyed. So Hashem says to the Malachim, if you don't stop complaining, I'll take apart the world. I'll put it back to Tohu Vavohu, and I'll show you how I built it piece by piece. Right? But you don't really want that. Better you should trust me that I know what I'm doing. Right? And that's the metzias of how he drew us to live his life. We have to have the confidence that everything is accounted for. We don't know exactly how and where, but we weren't there from the beginning of time. And that's what Hashem says back to the Malachim. If you want, I'm willing to take apart the world, but that means all the good things that you did like are also going to be taken apart. Is that what you want? Or do you want to trust me? And hopefully we make the choice to trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu with the confidence that at the end it's going to make sense. Many tzaddikim bring the var. Pesach, Matzu, Maror. Why is it in that order? Pesach, Matzu, Maror. Maror was the suffering. The suffering came first. But it's only Pesach, Matzah, after Karban Pesach, after the Matzah, the food of Amunah, then what? Then a person understands the Maror. Then I can deal with the Maror. Then the Maror makes sense. The Maror wasn't there to break me. Hashem didn't put me through this because he doesn't like me. Kadosh Baruch Hu understands exactly what I'm going through. Hashem knows what's truly best for me, even if it hurts sometimes. Hashem challenges us with nisyonos, and he pushes us, and he demands of us. And it's our job, it's our achrayas, to just try to let go a little bit and to trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was there, he knows exactly from beginning to end the whole story of world history and my own personal story. The second I let go, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me. I'll tell you a beautiful vart from Rav Moshe Wolfson. The very first piece in the Amunas Itach on Bereshis. Mamish, the very first piece. The second you let go, Kadosh Baruch Hu helps you. So here's my proof. Rav Moshe Wolfson writes, it's a Kabbalah that we have from the Vilna Gaon, another tzaddikim also. The first time a word appears in the Torah, it's the essence of that word. Right? You've heard such an idea? The Vilna Gaon brings it, Rav Tzadok brings it, different tzaddikim bring this idea. That the first time a letter appears, the first time a word appears, if you want to understand what that word really means, want to understand what or really is, look at the first time the Torah mentions or. So says Moshe Wolfson, based on that yisod, Hinei ezer harishon hamuzkir b'torah hi ha'isha, hishtada adam rishon harbe limtza osa, uva akol v'chula v'lo matza ezer. Adam harishon, Rashi describes, again, whether it's literal or not, the big machlokas amongst the super commentaries on Rashi, but it says that Adam Rishon went around trying to pair himself up with all the other animals in the world, trying to find the mate. Right? Again, whether he was physically intimate with the animals, which seems to the Pashup Shana Rashi, whether that's more metaphorical, he was just aligning himself emotionally with the different animals. Adam is so busy trying to figure something out. Until finally Adam says, you know what, Hashem, put me to sleep and help me find a wife. Adam stops trying. Adam goes to sleep and he wakes up and Hashem made a wife for him. And how is that wife described? As an Ezer Kenegdo. So the first time, says Rav Moshe Wolfson, that help appears in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, first time Hashem helps man is when what? It's when he lets go. When he stops trying to do his Ishtadlis. V'achar shemashach yadom yishtadlis, haynu be'ez hatardema. When Adam goes to sleep, all of a sudden the first Ezer, the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps man in the Torah appears. She heder gomer shel ishtadlis zacha leisha. Man gets his most important human helper, his wife. V'zeh tochas musar. And this is a very, says Rav Wolfson, this is a very strong thing to think about. You want a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help, so stop trying to be in charge. Let go a little bit. Right? Trust that a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best for you. Trust that a Kadosh Baruch Hu understands the context of your life. And realize that I just simply don't know the whole story. I'm the guy who shows up to shul and starts telling the gavai what to do. And that's annoying. No one likes that guy. Leave the gavai alone. He's here week in and week out in a very sensitive way trying to make sure the right people get the right kibbutzim. Okay, 6 and 7. Let's finish up. Hashishis. We're 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Vashishis. And this is a big one. Shia inyen haboteach kulo masur biyado. V'lo yuchal ha'adam la'aziko u'laho ilo. To realize that the person who I'm relying upon can protect me from any harm whatsoever. Will this person be able to shield me, to protect me? that I'm, do I feel comfortable giving myself over to this person entirely? Again, a little bit of going back to the mashal of the baby in the mother's arms. V'lo lehetiv elav, v'lo lidchos nezek me'alav, zulaso ke'eved ha'asur. Like an eved that's literally chained to its master, is totally subservient to its master. Do I feel that this person can totally, totally provide for me, can protect me from any type of harm? And again, of course, the only one who could do that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Asher hu bebeis habor, like the eved who's literally chained to its master. It sounds like a very negative image, right? But the same way that the eved is totally, totally subservient to its master, b'rishus adonav, and is controlled, is provided for by the master, he doesn't have an independent will, and the master watches over his eved. That's why the halacha says, if the eved gets a tooth knocked out, if the eved gets injured, the eved goes free. The master's job is to protect his eved 100%. So is this the type of person who can shield me from any type of harm? K'shiyabotech b'rishus misha batach alav al inyan hazeh, ya yosa roi livtoach alav. Can this person protect me entirely? Can distance any type of harm from befalling me. Okay? We mentioned in one of the earlier shiurim the Chazon Ish's approach to bitachon. What is the Chazon Ish's definition of bitachon? Bitachon does not mean that you get what you want if the plane is crashing, if you believe in God. Bitachon means that I believe that my situation is not happenstance. I'm here for a reason. I may die, God forbid. Right? But if something doesn't work out the way that I want it to work out, this is not a freak accident. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is still running the show. That's one approach. And the Chazon Ish said, many people have a mistaken approach that if you have enough bitachon, then you get what you want. You get all the protection in the world. He called that the mistake of the Chassidim. What he meant by the mistake of the Chassidim is this is the approach of Sifrei Chassidus, but it's also the approach we just read. That rely on the one who can protect you entirely, who can save you no matter what the situation is. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? That's the approach of Sifrei Chassidus. It's also really the approach of the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam in the third chelik of the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam really presents it through the lens of Hashkacha Pratis. I'll just read you half a line in the Rambam, in the Mor Nevuchim. But the Rambam says, how does Hashkacha Pratis work? How much is Hashem connected to me, to whatever degree I'm connected to Hashem? Just listen to this one line from the Mor Nevuchim. If a person turns his attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and rejoices in all of his connection to Hashem, I efshar sheyikra oz la'ishahu min memine haros. Nothing bad can happen to you. If you're fully attached to Hashem, nothing bad can happen to you. Ki hu im Hashem v'Hashem imo. That's the Rambam. You know who else writes very similarly? The Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim talks about what he calls a segula nifla. A segula nifla, we have good stories, from the, not for now, but we have great stories with the Brisker Rav using the segula nifla. People in the Holocaust using the segula nifla to literally walk past Nazi soldiers and like be invisible. Or to continue to learn Torah while bombs are falling all around you, but meditating on what? What does Reb Chaim Volozhiner write? Ein od milvado. Attach yourself to Hashem. Ein od milvado. Nothing in the world can harm me. Lift yourself above teva, and you're good. Nothing can harm you. People can shoot bullets right at you. The bullets will fly around you. School in a flow. Metaphysical reality. That's a very different approach to bitachon. The Chazon Ish says that the bullets are flying at you, right? Your bitachon demands of you to believe that I'm exactly where I need to be, whatever's going to happen, if the bullet hits me or not. The Hasidic approach, the Rambam-ish approach, and many, many other sources, Cholos Levavos approach, is the one who can protect you from any harm whatsoever. Kedushas Levi writes in Parshas Beshalach that when the Jewish people, he says, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you, but sometimes you have to make it happen for yourself. How do you make it happen for yourself? By trusting Hashem. What's the example in Parshas B'Shalach? Jump into the water, and it will split for you. Trust Hashem that I will not drown. Just keep taking another step. It's getting higher and higher. The water didn't split yet. Keep going, keep going. Right? It went to Mayim Ad Nafesh, and at the last second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for them.
But Hashem gave them those instructions at that time.
Sort of. Okay, but they still had to do it, and it was still hard. And the physical reality told them otherwise. Right? But they pushed through that. In fact, the Kedushas Levi writes there, Oz Yashir is Lashon Asid, because Oz Yashir, they were singing about the salvation before it even happened, because they were so confident that if we trust Hashem wholly, nothing can happen to us. Nothing can harm us. Kedushas Levi says, if you start worrying about your Parnassa, you're going to lose your Parnassa. If you put more confidence in Hashem, It'll get things rolling. Things will work out for you. It's a rusa dilatata. You will make it happen. So this is a very important approach, again, to bitachon, that he seems to be talking about here. Einon mavado, surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and realize the same way that the Eved is totally chained by its master, right? The positive side of that, the flip side of that, is something that I saw in the writings of the first Telzer Rebbe, Telzer Rosh Yeshiva. In the Shiurei Das from Yosef Yehuda Leiblach, the founder of the Telzer Yeshiva. He writes in the Shiurei Hadas, he says, the Sitra Achra should be viewed like a dog, like a wild dog that's on a collar. Right? Which means that if I acknowledge that there's someone holding back the dog could be the scariest dog in the world, but I'm not afraid. You know why? Because I know if that dog comes charging at me, the master is going to yank it back. The Sitra Achra doesn't have free reign. Midas Hadin, Gvura, Kochas Hatuma, however metaphysical you want to get about it, bad things happening don't have free reign in this world. If I don't acknowledge that the dog is on a leash, so then I negate the leash. But when I realize that Hashem makes the final say of things, Hashem is in charge, Hashem decides if I get hurt or not, if I'm avata myself to Hashem, Einon Bavado, no one can harm me. No Nazi soldier can harm me. No natural circumstance can harm me. Nothing can harm me. And that's the type of person who I want to rely on. And again, needless to say, only Kadosh Baruch Hu could offer that degree of protection. And last but not least, the bottom line, Vashvias, the seventh category of one who I would want to rely upon. And again, I'm not really sure why this is different than category one, but the person should be one of the utmost generosity of kindness. Again, it seems like it's similar to, it's not just that the person loves me, but the person is unbelievably generous, above and beyond anything that anyone deserves. Right? And that's sort of the Chovas HaLevavos' way of saying that you can rely on Hashem. Don't convince yourself you're unworthy. For your boss, you may be unworthy. For your neighbor, you may be unworthy. Your spouse might be upset at you. You're never unworthy by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide, turn to the last page, L'misha Roylo, L'misha Eino Roylo, whether you're worthy or not. That the person is just so unbelievably generous that they provide for you in a way that just goes completely above and beyond. When we go to Tashlich, which is not that far away, believe it or not, we're going to recite the Pesukim, Mikel Kamocha, which is what the whole Sefer Tomer Devorah from the Ramak is built upon. Mikel Kamocha, who is God like you? And the Tomer Devorah starts off by describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's generosity. That we do Averas, we slap Hashem in the face, and Hashem at that very moment is pumping life into us. Think about that. A Jew speaks Lashon Hara, at that moment God is giving you the ability to talk, which is a godly gift, to be able to speak. The moment a person uses any of our body parts in the wrong way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is energizing the body part, giving you life at that exact moment that you're using that koch against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to provide you. That's the highest level of generosity. And again, that's the type of individual you would want to rely upon. Skipping ahead to the next little paragraph, just the last line for tonight inside. V'kasher nachura eila shiva tonayim. When we think about these seven factors, these seven categories, lo nimtzaim klal bebruim, no human being has even one of them. You'll read the footnote yourself in the bottom of the page to find out why not even one of them applies to basar v'dam. All the more so, all seven for sure don't apply to basar v'dam. V'nimtzaim kulam bebore yisala, and all of them, every single one of them, applies to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I'll just end again. As we approach the Yom Narav, and we have to think of Tammuz, we're getting into Chodesh Av. We're heading to Chodesh Av already. Tammuz Av El, it's a package deal of preparation for the Yom Narav. Before you know, we're going to be standing by Slichos, and we're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tatzileni mikol gezeros sachzario, save me from all difficulty in the world. Ki lecha levad einenu tluyos. Because you alone are the only one who can help me in this situation. You're the only one who can grant me tshuva. You're the only one who can grant me life. You're the only one who can give me parnasa. That's what we're negotiating on Rosh Hashanah. In the Sefer here, Kuntres Eitzos Lezakos Bedin V'yom Naram. I'm not going to read any more inside now, but there's a whole section that if we just turn to Hashem, we rely wholeheartedly on Hashem, that's the greatest technique to get everything you could want in the Yom Naram. That's a great way to get tshuva. That's the greatest way to have a Beis HaMikdash, that's Tisha B'Av. So, Mir Tashem, we should understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu's unique ability to provide for us in all of these different, very generous and remarkable categories. And then, Mir Tashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yimalei Hashem, Mishalos Libeinu L'Tov. Yishkoyach.
He's saying number six.